Hallelujah. Well, this will end up being part two. Cause okay, Revelation. Hallelujah. 13:1-4. And he stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast of prey come up from the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and upon his horns 10 diadems, and upon his heads names of blasphemy. And the beast of prey which I saw was like a leopard, and his life like those of, and his feet like those of a wolf, and his mouth like the mouth of lions. And the dragon gave him his own power and throne and great authority, and one of the heads was wounded as it were to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the earth wondered about the beast of prey, and they worshipped the dragon, because he had given authority to the beast of prey, and they said, "Who can make war upon him?" And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and authority was given him to operate 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy towards Elohim, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them who dwell in heaven. And authority was given him over every tribe and people and tongue and nation, and it was given him to wage war with the set apart believers and to overcome them. And all that dwell on earth whose names were not written of the book of life of Lamb, in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, will worship him. If anyone has ears, let him hear. If anyone carries into captivity, he will himself go into captivity. And if anyone slays with the sword, he must be slain with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the set apart believers. And I saw another beast of prey which came out of the earth, and it had 2 horns like those of a lamb, and he spoke like the dragon, and before him he exercised the authority of the first beast of prey, whose deadly wound was healed. So again, we're looking at our spiritual armor. Again, this isn't a time for us to be lackadaisical. Again, when we put on the belt of truth, is the first defense of all spiritual warfare. We study Torah, or the truth, the whole truth. Now, when I say, you know, Torah is Genesis, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But when we say the word, we're talking about the whole word as well. But the Torah is the foundation which everything is built upon and points to Mashiach, Yeshua. Again, putting on the breastplate of righteousness protects us from tactics of pride and temptation. Putting on the shoes of peace defends against oppression. And the helmet of salvation protects us from accusation and our most vulnerable component of thought. And again, when I read that already, but, you know, we're to be in constant communication with our Father. So let's go on the enemies we face. We need wisdom and revelation. Okay, Paul prayed that the believers should have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. We need to know who we are in Messiah. We need to know the authority that we have in his name and in his word, okay? There are two kingdoms that are at war with one another. That is the kingdom of Yahweh versus the kingdom of HaSatan. Go to Matthew 12:26-28. Let me get my... And that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to be complacent. He doesn't want us to pray. He wants our defenses to be down so that, you know, he can attack us and run, you know. Let's go to, what did I say, 26? Okay, 12:26-28. Let's go up a little bit. Verse 22. Then there was brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and he healed him so that the dumb man spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and began to say, "This man cannot be the son of David, can he?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This man cast out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons." And knowing their thoughts, he said to them, again, knowing their thoughts, Yeshua operated fully in all the gifts of the Spirit. He knew what they were thinking. They didn't even have to say anything. You know, that must have shocked them, because they didn't, you know, say anything, and all of a sudden he's telling them exactly what they were thinking in their head. Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And that's what the enemy is trying to do. He is trying to divide the body of Messiah, because where there is division, you can't stand. And you see that going on. You know, we need to lay aside those things that are not salvation issues and start uniting in Messiah and the Word. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself, then how shall his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebul, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Consequently, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of Yahweh, then the kingdom of Yahweh has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds a strong man, and then he will plunder his house? Again, let's go to Ephesians 6:12. We are the spiritual IDF of Messiah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Our strength is in him, and we are strong because of his might within us. And again, put on the full armor of God that you may stand against the schemes of Ha-Satan. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Again, we are dealing with persons without bodies. Again, these are topics that I don't see taught a lot in Messianic circles as far as spiritual warfare and intercession and stuff. And we need it. You know, there's a lot of great knowledge of there, but you know what? We're at war, and we need to, you know how to stand against the enemy. Okay, we are dealing again with persons without bodies. Demonic spirits are real. Mm-hmm. There, just because you can't see them, you know, does not mean they are real. In fact, that's what Satan doesn't want you to believe. He's real. He doesn't want you to believe there's anything out there. You know, and you'll even hear people that, you know, say, "Oh, well, you know, that's just a bunch of, you know, baloney." And it's like, "Oh, really?" You know, all you have to do is look at the world today and realize there is good and there is evil, okay? Again, we are dealing with persons without bodies. And there is a hierarchy. There is a level of authority in the spirit realm. There's a level of authority in the angelic realm. There's a level of authority in the demonic spiritual realm. First, rulerships. It's a level of satanic authority in his kingdom. There's sub-rulers, which are lesser rules, and then sub-sub-rulers underneath them. So again, there's like a division. There's a... Okay, we are dealing again with persons without bodies. They dominate in darkness. Satan is one who dominates. Okay, and he dominates in darkness. Spiritual hosts of wickedness, it's a whole army in the heavenlies. Isaiah 14:12-15, let's go there. Again, this is a very well-known scripture. But behind every evil ruler, there is a demonic spirit behind them. Okay? Begin with verse 12, and here he's speaking of Ha-Satan's fall, and you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations, and you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the star of Yahweh, and I will sit in the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the earth. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you'll be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those you see will gaze at you, and they will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go home? All the kings of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb. But you have been cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch, clothed with the slain who are pierced with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a trampled corpse. You will not be united with them in burial because you have ruined your country. You have slain your people. May the offspring of evildoers not be mentioned forever. That word star is Hayel, which means a morning star or Lucifer. You go down to the next screen. The next word is Shachar. So it's Ha-Leel, Shachar, morning star. And again, literally means day, spring, early, light, morning. Again, we know that he was here, you know, he was very, I mean, they said that he, you know, probably led the worship in heaven. Okay, he was beautiful, right? He was about as close to the throne as you can get. Okay, it says until iniquity was found within him. And then you see the five eyes, I will. Whenever you hear I will, that's a spirit of rebellion. You know, I will. You know, again, that's a spirit of rebellion. Ezekiel 28:12-17. Let's go to Ezekiel 28:12-17. We have to know that who the enemy is, but Yahweh's already given us everything we need to stand against him and defeat him. Again, he's given us the armor, he's given us the word, he's given us the weapons, he's given us the authority of the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. In your own strength, you are no match for him. But when you are clothed with the armor and clothed, you know, actually it's really the garment of the high priest, and you have the name of Yeshua, there's no principality or power that can stand against you. You need to know who you are. You know, even Derek Prince says, you don't hear, you know, if you are walking in holiness and you are walking sanctified and you know who you are in Messiah, you don't have to be afraid of demonic spirits. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of you. Wow. When you know who you are. Again, he's talking to the prince of Tyre, but behind that prince of Tyre is a principality who was influencing and who had power over that prince of Tyre. Okay, again, a lot of you can see that's going on in the natural is what's going on in the spiritual. You know, all those that Israel had been, there's like over 100 what do they call Kedeshim or Keda, I forgot what they call them, rockets shot into Israel. Okay, as you see, you know, that in the natural, that same spiritual warfare is going on in the spiritual too. Okay, so we are at war. 28:12-17. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says Yahweh Elohim, you had the seal of perfection full of wisdom and perfect of beauty. Again, now this is talking about HaSatan. Okay? You were in Eden, the garden of Yahweh. Was the king of Tyre? No, he's talking about, you know, Satan. Every precious stone was your covering. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, just imagine the clothing, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You are the anointed cherub who covers. And I placed you there. You were in the holy mountain of Yahweh. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were eternally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of Yahweh, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up, again, there's that spirit of pride, because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth. In all the eyes of those who see you and all who know you among the peoples, they're appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will be no more. again, too, when Ephesians talk about his as the heavenlies, okay, it talks, there's actually, there's the heavens, you know, above us that we can see, and then there is space, you know, outer space where you get higher up in the heavenlies, and then there's a place where Yahweh dwells, okay? There's an opposing kingdom between us and Yahweh. That's why sometimes, you know, I know last week when we had Shabbat, I says, you know, it just feels like there's like a wall that we need to break down. You know, we just started praying and interceding because, you know, the enemy, you know, is there in the heavenlies fighting. And if we're not praying, if we're not standing in authority, we're giving them the right to do whatever they do. But when we start praying, you're giving the angels the right to battle them. Go to the book of Daniel. The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Our prayers availeth much. And I think the reason why we're not seeing a lot of things happen, you know, even as far as in the messianic movement or the body side, because we're not praying and we're not taking our authority. We're just, you know, we're just like kind of looking at our, you know, to our own flesh, and we just got our heat, you know, just like, okay, well, God, when are you going to start doing? God started dealing with me because, you know, he says, you know, that, and, you know, Rabbi Scott goes, we got to get up in the morning, we got to pray, we got to pray. I said, okay. You know, finally, I says, yeah, you're right. You know, it's like I'm like getting so busy, even though I'm constantly talking with the Lord. There's a time where you need to get an intercession. Wednesday night, we are here, we are interceding, and we are praying. You know, and we've been having some powerful intercessory prayer on Wednesday nights as well. Hallelujah. Daniel. And as in that time of prayer too, God's going to start revealing to you, you know, the tactics of the enemy as well. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. Now, when they say that word mourning, that means he was fasting, okay? I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face had the appearance of lightning, and his eyes were like flaming torches, and his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell upon them, and they ran away to hide. So they didn't see it, what Daniel was seeing, but they felt it, you know, and they split, okay? But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, O Daniel, most man of high esteem, understand that the words I am about to tell you stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken the words to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before Yahweh, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But, okay, again, it was 21 days. Okay, how many of us, a lot of times after 2 days, it's like, you know, well, I guess God didn't hear my prayer, you know. But here is 21 days, he's praying, and as he's praying, there's a battle going on in the heavenlies. There's a warfare going on in the heavenlies. Ain't nothing, you know, Star Wars Mickey Mouse compared to the war that goes on in the heavenlies. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me. Now, is he talking about the physical prince of Persia? No, he's talking about the spiritual force, the spiritual power that was behind the prince of Persia, which was withstanding him for 21 days. There was 21 days of battle going on in the heavens. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. So here, it doesn't identify who this angel was, but Michael came to help him. Only took two of them. Oh, yeah. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet to the future. So again, there was a spiritual warfare going on before the breakthrough, before the angel, you know, the breakthrough, the message could come through. Again, Daniel's prayer set all heaven in motion. Our prayer set heaven in motion. Hallelujah. Again, two princes are mentioned here, the prince of Persia, and also the vision that Daniel had was the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. Prior was the prince of Babylon. These were all ruled by satanic angels. Okay. Okay, Judah was under four of these nations. They were under Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. All were under the influence of satanic forces. I know that there are demonic forces set over major cities as well. I mean, you could feel it. I mean, you can go, the closer you get to the city, you can feel it. The farther away, but I tell you, there are spirits assigned to those cities. There are strongholds that we need to pray and intercede for and take authority over. Okay, we'd go up to Wisconsin, and you know the farther away it just got so peaceful. Then we'd come home. The closer we got to the city, the more we felt the oppression or the depression. Even when sometimes when I remember I'd go to the Field Museum. You go into some of those areas where they show, like Egyptian. I start feeling the spirits behind. It's like, ugh, I just get a real icky feeling. You know, they show the different, like Egypt and all these different and the stuff they wore. And I mean, you can just feel the presence of darkness is there still. You know, I never liked it. I was like, why do I feel? And so I was young. Why do I feel so icky when I'm looking at this stuff? Because of the spirits behind it. Demons need something to be in. Okay, they need a body, they need an object to dwell in. Okay, and if you want to read two good authorities, no, they're not messianic, but these are God-fearing men. They loved God. They knew what they were talking about. Dr. Lester Sumrall was a very good authority on demonic forces, spiritual warfare, and Derek Prince. Not Joseph Prince, Derek Prince. Derek Prince is buried in Israel. He's with Yeshua. I know when I mentioned that once. I mentioned the guy. Go, you got to be careful. I said, no. You're thinking of the wrong person. That's not the one I'm thinking of. We need to know this though, because you know what? God is raising up a new generation. He has called us back to stand in the gap for Israel. To stand in the gap for those that are still, in the churches, and the deception that's out there. So why? So the Ruach HaKodesh could work in people's lives and draw them in, back into the truth of Yahweh. Hallelujah. And us criticizing and saying nasty things is not what wins the battle. What's win the battle is praying in the Spirit, praying the Word, and standing in the gap and praying, because it's the principalities and powers that are our enemy. Okay, that's who our battle is. The Word says our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. Okay, but they need to use people to get to you. They need to use something to get to you. And the biggest thing he likes to do is use people to get you offended. Okay, spirit of offense, spirit of strife. It'll hinder your walk every single time. We cannot be easily offended. We need to realize who is, using, right, those things against us. Again, nothing happened until Daniel prayed. When you are in the center of Yahweh's will and plans, you are in the most intense spiritual warfare. And I know even before I was starting to teach this, I know that every single one of us in the past week or so have been under some kind of warfare. Oh, yes. I just know, because you know what? Whenever you're about to reveal Hasatan's tactics, he tries to come against, you know, with us, he'll try to cause strife and arguments over something that's so stupid, you know? It's like, but you could just feel the spirit, you know? And it's just like, and I'm thinking, I was like, wait a minute, you know? Again, that's the enemy's tactic. You know what? Divine. He has not changed. He is, back to the garden, his tactics have not changed. But we need to be aware of the enemy that we face, okay? Again, go to Daniel 12, verses 1 to 3.
I believe that's why divorce is so rampant in the world, is because he's trying to divide his taxes. And why people say, well, you know what, it's safe to live with someone. Well, no, it's not, because you're going against one of the two greatest commandments.
Okay, this is in Daniel 12, 1. It's talking about the end times. Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of Israel, Daniel is the angel who watches over and protects Israel. Michael, sorry. What did I say?
Daniel.
Oh, okay. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, which is Israel, will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who's found written in the book, will be rescued. Hallelujah. There's hope. Hallelujah. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I love that. Hallelujah. Your light, it says, and those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. Hallelujah. Go to Daniel 11, 1. Just back a chapter. And in the first year of Darius of Mede, I arose to be an encouragement and a protection for him. And I will tell you the truth. Behold, three more kings are going to arise in Persia. Then a fourth will gain far more riches than all of them. As soon as he becomes strong through his riches, he will arouse the whole empire against the realm of Greece. And a mighty king will arise, and he will rule with great authority and do as he pleases. And as soon as he has arisen, his kingdom will be broken up and parceled out toward the four points of the compass, though not his own descendants, nor according to his authority, which he yielded, for his sovereignty will be uprooted and given to other kings. Then the king of the south will grow strong, along with one of his princes, who will gain ascendancy over him and obtain dominance, and his domain will be a great domain indeed. Again, behind all these powers, all these, you know, the Greece and Persian, everything, were demonic spirits. Okay, demonic powers. But it was all, you know, God is still in control. Okay? He actually gave, you know, Daniel, I think one rabbi says, he says, you know, we could see our whole history just by Daniel's, you know, vision of the, because it shows, you know, it was from Persian to Babylon to Greece to Rome. Hallelujah. God's word is true. God's word is true. I don't care, you know, who gets up there and says, you know, now that I know his word is true, because you know what? I know what he's done in my life. You know, because you know the power that, you know, of how he changed your life. So again, there is structure in Satan's kingdom. The key word is rebel or rebellion describes Hasatan. So if you are being influenced by, if you have a rebellion in your life, that's Hasatan. If there is strife or confusion, that's Hasatan. God is not the author of confusion. Okay, God is a God of order. Where there's disorder, that means Hasatan is in control. God is a God of order. And the problem is we need to get ourselves into order. We need to get ourselves into the order of Yahweh. Again, Ephesians says he is the prince of the power of the air. Job 41 talks about Leviathan, which was a marine monster, but talks about pride, which is coming under the control of Satan. As we're doing these restoration classes, and we were talking about the roots of rejection. Two of the main branches that come off of that rejection are pride and fear. Okay, those are two very powerful forces that we have authority over. You know what? Stop letting the enemy kick you around. You know, Yeshua has already paid the price for your deliverance. The thing is we're not taking hold of it and we're not believing it. And this just gets me, it gets me mad spiritually, because I'm sick and tired of seeing the enemy push God's people around when they don't have to be pushed around. We just need to believe the word and stand on the word and believe what God says, and he will deliver us. He is our deliverer. We have to believe that. Again, Satan's ambition is to dominate the whole human race. And you can see, and he uses religion to do that.
Yes.
What is the religion today that wants to dominate the whole human race? Islam. There is a demonic spirit behind the religion of Islam. Okay, it wants to, again, say it's how Satan will use whatever he can. Every religion that's outside the Word of God is run by Satan. He'll use whatever he can. He'll use Islam. He'll use, all those other, false religions, whatever. He don't care. It's just like he'll get his word. And if you look at, a lot of these, especially India, they've got thousands upon thousands of gods. And those are demonic spirits. Okay. Whenever people, again, that's why you need the discerning of spirit. When you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, you can walk into the room and you'll pick up right away what spirit is there.
Right.
I've even gone into, you can even go into a church and pick up right away what spirit is there.
Oh, yeah.
You'll just feel all of a sudden in your spirit grief, or you're just like, it's like because the spirit is bearing witness that Yahweh is not in control there. I walked into one church. It was a large church. It was like years ago, and they were having a special speaker there. So we went to, he was like, I think from Africa. So we went, we wanted to go see him. And the minute I walked in the building, it was like God told me, he says, my spirit isn't here. And I felt it. And as we were, sitting there, Scotty was little, and he was eating a mint or something. He started choking. So I'm doing like giving him the Heimlich and stuff. People surround me. Nobody lifted a hand to help me.
Right.
They just sat there. I'm like praying on Yeshua's name. And finally it came out and they brought him back into the hall, but I didn't want to go back there. I'm thinking, and they just looked at me. I mean, they could see my son was choking and I'm doing whatever I can. And they just sat there looking like, it's like, wait a minute. wouldn't you, the minute you run, hey, do you need help?
Right.
But again, and I remember even in my early, as an early believer, I went to this one. It was an Assemblies of God church. And the minute I walked in, it was like I just felt it was dead. And it just like you just felt that the God's presence was not there. And, God, we need that gift of discerning of spirits. Again, you don't turn the gifts on and off like a faucet. But they are there when you need them, the time you need them. And especially now, we really need to be, discerning, because, and I've heard that, those different testimonies of people, like Rico was sharing and stuff, but there are people that actually ended up denying Messiah. I know people that deny Messiah, they, how can, it's me, if you can deny him, you never really knew him. You didn't know the power, you didn't have the power, you didn't have the knowledge, you had no relationship with him in the first place. Because there is no way that we would ever deny him. I don't care if, we were the only last two standing, which we won't, because I know you're all standing too. But that's how our faith has to be. It's like, because we're living in the days where we need that gift of discernment. Okay? Again, he wants to be worshipped. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Yeshua says he comes for one thing, and that's to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. which is stubbornness. Wherever there is rebellion, eventually there will be witchcraft. Behind every false religion is a spirit of witchcraft, our demonic spirits. Again, people, you ever see those programs where, like, I don't watch them, but I've just seen the commercial Ghost Hunters, where they see these apparitions? Those are demons manifesting themselves to deceive people. You know, people, oh, we saw you, so, you know, they know, because they've been here from the, you know, very beginning. They just, when you go to, you know, if people go to seances and stuff, they know how to, you know, pretend to be that person and to say exactly what they say, and people are deceived by that. Those are demonic forces. That's why we need to repent of anything in our life, and we're involved with that. We need to repent and renounce it, because when we do that, we break their authority from being able to have authority over our life. We've broken it. Okay.
Just a manifestation of, and people
of demons.
Will tell you, they don't believe in God, but they believe in ghosts. They will. They'll tell you that.
But again,
the thing of it is it's a manifestation of.
You know, the word says God has not given you a spirit of fear. Fear
right.
Is a spirit. Mm-hmm. He has not. That's, if you have fear, it's not from God. Okay, he says, but of peace, power, and a sound mind. Again, we have, and this is only, I'm going to go back to the chart. We got to remember who our enemies are, okay? Principalities, authorities, and possessors, and evil spirits. Okay, there are fallen angels, and then there are demon spirits. Okay, that's why it's important if you have anything in your house, okay, that is of any kind of, you know, demonic nature. It could be, you know, I was sharing when we were one day, guess that we need to do house cleaning, you know, and things that I didn't think anything of.
Things the other day. I was.
And we just started tossing things out, you know, and even, you know, Lester Sommer were always sharing. He says, you know, it's not that that object has any power, but the demons need that object to operate in. Okay? So we need to get rid of it. You know, I don't, it's like, we need to ask God, is there anything in this house that doesn't belong in here? I don't care if it's books, artifacts, or whatever. You need to toss it and get it out of the house. Okay? Because your house is, you know, God dwells in that house with you. He, that is your sanctuary. That is, you know, especially, you know, in our body, we are the dwelling place. We are the temple, the Ruach HaKodesh. You know, and sometimes I think we forget that we are the temple, the Ruach HaKodesh. Again, God has given us, and these are just the three gifts we're talking about, and we're going to get into more, but the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, okay, the gift of wisdom, the gift of revelation, and discerning of spirits. We need the gifts of the spirits, the gift of the spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, in the days we're living in. You know, if they needed it back then in Yeshua's time,
right,
how much more do we need it now? You know, especially the closer that Yeshua comes. Hallelujah. And again, he goes, all power and authority has been given to me. You go, therefore. We go in the power of his name, in the power of his spirit. And we need to pray, Father, I thank you that we will not be deceived in any way, shape, or form, and that we ask him, Father, I want these gifts to operate in my life. I don't want to be deceived. Okay, we even need to be careful a lot of times of, again, books we read too. You know, we need to know who's writing this book and what is their relationship with God. I don't care how good of a writer he is.
That's why the internet can be so dangerous.
Right. Well, not just that, but any kind of, you know, books and stuff you're picking
all
up.
Right.
This needs to be the book. I think people, you know, you should be reading.